This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all things that relate to companies in the construction industry. And today we have a very hot topic that I know everybody loves to talk about, which is insurance. Now don't be wrong. You need to know about insurance and you need to have it. And, you know, I'm going to learn some things today, too, because today we have on the show insurance guru and all around business expert Warren Spiewick. How are you, Warren?
Hello, hello. It's a Monday. It's spring forward where, you know, I don't know. Does that mean we lost an hour of sleep, Carolyn?
Yes, we lost an hour. And you know, I could definitely feel it when I drove into work this morning. And it was still dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's a great day. Thank you for having me. It means a lot to be here. You're one of my favorite interviews that we did over at Ahead of the Game, and we get such great feedback. So it's an honor and pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you so much. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you started, and how you got where you are now.
Well, I actually come from a blue collar family. My dad owned an air conditioning company called Castle Air Conditioning. I very much was taught at a very young age by my father that if you want to make a living and you want it, you know, and you want to be successful, choose an industry that people need. And in his opinion of as being an AC contractor, he always thought, you know what, if it's $400 to get your AC fixed, or $400 for some mini blinds, everyone's always going to spend the money to be less than 110 degrees in the Texas heat. And so throughout my childhood, I was in as a teen, I not only was able to watch my dad be successful in business, but also get to hear kind of the back end of what goes on with contractors. You know, I got to see his struggles. Ultimately, he also told me that I'm not allowed to become an air conditioning guy. He's like, you're not allowed to do this business. And so I ended up getting into the insurance industry in about 2002. And so I've been doing this almost 20 years. And right from the get-go, I started working for doing business insurance, really specializing in not just one area, but really becoming a product specialist in the insurance industry.
So why do you think your dad told you he didn't want you to become a member of the AC?
My dad was someone who, he didn't have a high school diploma. He was an entrepreneur. My dad worked 6 days a week, probably 12 hours a day. He did a great job. He was successful. He had a great reputation. He had a great approach. But I think for him, you know, being in an attic, you know, he did a lot of residential. So he wasn't doing the large commercial deals where there's lots of room to work. It was always a builder put in an AC unit and it's right next to the roof. So you're upside down in this 116 to 130 degree, dirty, dusty, roach-filled attic. And I just think he didn't want that for me. And even though I would help him in the summers, what that really did for me is teach me why he came home feeling sometimes the way he did. And I remember things like, you know, when you're a contractor, and I know anyone listening to this will be able to relate, but it's because you are fixing things and building things all work week long. When you come home and your washing machine doesn't work, it sucks, right? It's like, cause you know how to fix it. You're not going to call somebody, but I always remember my dad, it would be always a holiday or his birthday. And he would have to say, happy birthday to me. The washing machine is broken, right? Or happy birthday. It would always just be happy new year. You know, the dishwasher just spilled 800 gallons of water all over the kitchen floor. But that, you know, those are the things that I remember. But I just think that really my dad felt like that was his skill set. That was how he figured out how to make a buck. And he followed through and just really told me and my brother not, you know, we're not allowed.
He didn't want you to work that hard. And, you know, as a member of like what I call it, the get shit done tribe, the guys that are going up in the attic and the guys that are getting, that work with their hands and get shit done, it's a hard living. You know, my grandfather was a farmer for years and that is a really hard living, you know, up before the, you know, and I was out in the field and he always wanted his kids, don't be farmers. Don't do this because it is so hard.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and people don't realize, you know, when someone's working on your house, whether they're doing roofing or plumbing or AC work, there is such a big difference it makes in being hospitable thoughtful.
Well, and the thing is that at the end of the day, we're all just people.
Yeah.
You know, some people are lawyers, some people are AC guys, but we're all just people and we're all here supposed to help each other, right? You know, I know nothing about fixing ACs, but I can help them write a better contract, you know, and I want to help them run a better business. I'm sure that you feel the same, but if we all come together and, you know, give them a little piece here and a little piece there, they'll have the whole thing.
Yes.
And so they can go do what they love to do or, you know, what they're passionate about doing. And so with that, I kind of wanted to ask you for like our contractors, most of them get into business because they love what they do and they're really good at it, right? And so they get into business and they realize they need insurance. But the only insurance people they know is who wrote their car insurance. And so they go and ask them, what kind of insurance do I need? And so is that a good strategy or what do you recommend?
Okay, when it comes to insurance, I really want to be diplomatic the way I say this, because as I told you, my career started in commercial. And really what I always felt, going back to even what my dad taught me, was that really it's about specializing in something that might not be a commodity. So when I think of home and personal auto, I feel like 98% of my peers work in that space. Even companies like Farmers Insurance or Allstate or, you know, State Farm, these are retail shops, they're everywhere. And a majority of the work they do is on the personal line side. Well, with commercial, you really have to understand it's a much more complex product offering. You have a whole different list of carriers, meaning companies that you would want to be considered by, because how else do you get competitive in your product placement than competing, having markets compete? And so what you notice a lot on the personal line side is you have a lot of captives, meaning just people that are just kind of one-stop shops and they only have one carrier, or you have independent agents that in the most case could be small and again doing a lot of personal lines. So when it comes to choosing how to insure your business, my philosophy is you want to go with someone that really knows your business, that knows what the risks are. And what I mean by that is if you're selling home and auto 99% of the time and consulting people on their personal lines, when you meet a painter, for an example, you don't realize that you really need to dive into, are we talking residential or commercial? Are we talking new construction or remodeling? Are, you know, what are the features that are in this product to protect that client from overspray, right? So the more you get into this world of really being around a certain industry, it allows you to really know what to look for.
Well, I agree. It's kind of like lawyers are the same. Like you wouldn't, the lawyer that drafted your will is not the lawyer you want to draft your construction contract. You know, and I wouldn't offer that service either. So, but like, I'm kind of easy to find. You can Google construction attorney and that's pretty easy. How would they find someone like you that specializes? I mean, I'll put all your contact information in the show notes, but if they're looking, you know, just generally, what do we search? Where do we find it? What does it look like?
You know, that's the thing is what's, you know, when you, it's kind of, I make this joke all the time. When you think of a plastic surgeon, right? Do you want to go to the guy that's advertising in every single magazine for clients? Like that would be the guy that I don't want to go to. I want to go to someone that I hear from, I heard about from someone I respect. I want a real referral. My career, honestly, and I really mean this in the most down to earth way, really a lot of the way people uncover my services is from word on the street. I mean, if no one's ever shown you this, I don't do any like special marketing or anything. I am on LinkedIn and, you know, I'm not in the business of soliciting everybody. I'm really in the business of consulting. And what happens a lot in the construction industry, and this is really great for all of my clients because, you know, we have thousands and thousands of customers, Texas-based customers. Our agency as a whole, just to give you an idea, we have 700,000 clients across the country. I mean, what that means or what I'm trying to say about that is that when it comes to networking and knowing like a GC is looking for a certain subcontractor, it's pretty much all the time that myself, people that work on my team, a lot of my partners, we're always connecting people to jobs. And that goes the other way too, where you have a general contractor or you have an AC contractor or a concrete person that's able to really refer business back and forth. So just really, it's a natural thing that happens. And, But if anyone does want to find me, it's very easy. I'm on all the social media platforms. If you're looking for me, Warren Everyday Spiewak, and definitely find me on LinkedIn. But I work for an agency called IBTX, Insurance Bonds of Texas. So we do a lot of insurance and we do a lot of bonds. We have a very unique way that we do business because one of the things about this agency that serves in a way that provides value more so than just finding products is that we truly have a department for everything you need in business. So whether we're talking insurance or surety, those are two obvious things, right? But what about HR? What about if you want policies and procedures? What if you need contract review? Like, look at our relationship, Carolyn, right? Like, there's clients that come to me, they're, you know, if they want an attorney, we actually have people in the network that do this day in, day out. And then in addition to that, any entrepreneur out there, someone who's running a business, what you have to know too is the insurance world is subjective, and this is where I'm going with it. IBTX and the way we do business is we are very much into safety and risk analysis, because what it allows us to do is ultimately we are advocating for you with these carriers, right? We're getting them to compete. And what I want them to do is not just look at what the facts are in your numbers and the mathematics and the exposures, but I also want to talk to them in a subjective way to talk about what you do for safety, what makes you different than the 1,000 other contractors that are doing what you do. And it's that story, and it's the way we at IBTX position you that allow us to get you the best rating, the broadest coverage, high performing products.
So if I'm coming to you and I'm looking for something that's, you know, specifically for my business, what questions do I need to ask an insurance company to make sure that they're going to cover what I need?
So one of the things that everybody needs to look out for is exclusions. So when you look at an insurance policy, if it's excluding residential and you're a roofer that does homes, like, that's a problem. If you look at the exclusions and you see that it's excluding commercial buildings that are over four stories, you need to know that. There's a lot of policies have like breach of contract exclusions and exclusions on faulty work, right? And you've got to really know what you have and the questions that you really want to ask. And in many cases, you need somebody like a team like ours to do it, is to review what you have and find out what is not covered, what isn't going to be there. Because in the insurance world, a lot of people just think property, general liability. You know, those are two different products that everybody can roll off the tip of their tongue, even if they're just consumers. But there's professional liability, there's equipment floaters, there's these different items that really matter when it comes to insuring your business.
So you want somebody that's actually going to ask questions about your business and then design a policy around that?
Yes, because you, depending on what you do, whether you warranty your work, whether you're designing, you have a lot of exposures maybe that you are not covered for. Also, what I tell people a lot, especially if they have a smaller agent, is go look at your policy. Like, one of the things that you need to know is in the insurance world, you have standard companies, and those are companies like what you would automatically think of, Travelers, Chubb, or Liberty Mutual, right? But then you have all of these surplus lines, which is, surplus is kind of like the Wild West of the insurance world. And here's the interesting way to figure out if you have it or not. When you look at your deck page or you look at your invoice, if it has sales tax in there, that means your agent went to the surplus world. And the reason why I think that could be a problem is it could just be because a lot of retail agents that don't just specialize in commercial, they use wholesalers. They like send it to a mothership where they expect somebody else to kind of market it and show it around and bring you back pricing. And a lot of times that's always a surplus broker. So having somebody who writes this stuff all day, every day, and has lots of relationships with all the top carriers, and I mean virtually every carrier, that allows us to go to these standard markets. And not only do you get better payment plans, no sales tax, but you're with really amazing companies. And don't get me wrong, surplus lines has a place. I just want to make sure I'm going everywhere where you qualify and comparing the performance of the products and kind of looking at it that way.
And I remember when we did our interview, you mentioned something about doing a like a contractor specific insurance. Is that available, and what does that look like? You know, the painter needs overspray coverage and all the list of things. Like, you have that for like different, so for like the masonry guy or for like the pool guys, or different stuff there.
Yeah. So when it comes to being a subcontractor, what really matters is what work you're doing and the way the insurance industry categorizes those in SIC codes. That's a very kind of a technical thing, and NAIC codes. And so what you have to think about for a minute is that when you own a business, and I'm going to use just any kind of construction company, you have different people doing different things, right? And so some risks have a higher rate, a higher cost, and some have a lower cost. And so really you want to get pretty specific, because if your employees are doing things that could actually be considered lower on the rating scale, well, that's what we want to know. We want to get as specific as we can. When it comes to work, you know, when it comes to insurance for construction and some of the things that you see often excluded, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about what happens if there's faulty workmanship, right? And is there coverage for that? And the answer to that is there is. There's not a whole lot of people that do this, that offer this kind of coverage, but we have several that do. And the idea there is, mm-hmm. is general liability is always paying for damage to a third party, right? So you always have somebody who's a victim, if you will. It's a person or a thing, if you will. And so what happens when you own the company and you actually, it might not even be from incompetence. It could just be something that happens where you're exposed to a major cost for you to re-pour some concrete or to tear it out. Mm-hmm. There's a coverage called rip and tear, which is just for what are the costs to get the job done right. And so those are just some things that in some cases it makes sense to quote those and really know what they are, especially, you know, depending on how big a job is and what you're looking to do.
Well, I mean, because that would be extremely helpful. Like, say if you miss something in the scope and you did it wrong and now you got to redo it. And so you're telling me that we could file a claim on the insurance because now I got to redo it and it's going to cost me, you know, like, I don't know, $50,000-$60,000. And if that would be covered, that would be great. I mean, is that something you can, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So it depends. It's one of those things where you have to market it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to market it to the company. But the fact is that there is this coverage. It's professional liability, especially if you're designing the project. There's a lot of liability exposure there. So it's something to consider. It's something you want to ask about. And, you know, just going back to just owning a business, when you think about it, and this is just goes back to, again, you know, being around a company where you have employees, is your employees, on the most part, we all know they're doing the best that they can do. They're making the best decisions they can. But for a business owner, when your employee puts his foot through a ceiling or backs his truck into a building, I mean, there's just a whole slew of nightmares that are attached to that. And you have all these different compartments of insurance, whether it's general liability or in case of an employee having some kind of an injury, you're talking about workers' compensation. There's just so many different components to it that the true way to know that you're getting the right offering is for somebody to really offer it all to you, knowing that you might not buy it. Mm-hmm. And you don't want somebody that makes it feel like a sales consultation, but you just want to know, what does this product do? Where does it perform? And is there a return on investment? Is there something that means if this coverage gets triggered, that it'll actually save my business? And there are a lot of coverages that are really necessary, and the devil is in the details in knowing what those exclusions are and what you can add in as far as coverage goes.
So on the cost wise, like for good insurance that covers you for, you know, and I know it varies a lot by business, you know, the more high risk, obviously the more insurance is going to cost. But I mean, generally speaking, like what percentage of the gross, or give me something that would be, I should expect to pay something around this price, just generally for a good coverage that somebody should be able to explain to me, like if I file a claim, it's going to be covered.
Okay. I'm glad you're asking that, because I'm going to make it a two-part answer. Okay. The first thing is the way insurance is rated is not always the same. And this is something that we practice on the daily, which is when you look at your business, is the insurance company rating you off of your gross revenue or your gross payroll and what you're paying subcontractors. And like, these are two major things that when I'm working on a submission, what I'm always looking to do is different carriers use different values, right? And so you can imagine how sometimes a company that's making a whole lot of revenue and has a lower payroll, it would actually be kind of strategic to use a company that is going off of payroll and vice versa. So I like the idea of having an agent look at everything and look at it these different ways. And for you as a customer to ask, was this rated off my payroll or was this rated off of my gross revenue? It's an important fact. Mm-hmm. The second thing is when it comes to pricing, I really often see us solve a lot of problems for like 1-2% of revenue. Mm-hmm. But I do have cases where you have a $10 million revenue electrician that's doing work all over the state and needs a lot of coverage. And I don't mean that by what the limits are, but as I was speaking of earlier, it's not just property and general liability. Are we doing benefits? Are we doing professional liability? When you have employee theft, which you might have heard of this, where you could have employees basically ripping off your wire and recycling it for cash, is that covered? It's a special coverage that would cover that for you, especially if it's an employee. And then you get into even cyber. Like if it's weird when I talk to contractors, they usually don't identify with cyber. Like they're going like, what is it that we have? What exposure do we have? But you have all this client information and there's all these regulations on if there was a data breach, what would your company do to protect your clients? And it's not expensive. It's something very simple, but it's something important that a lot of agents overlook. And if the stuff that I'm talking about is something you've never seen, if no one's ever shown you what these quotes look like, your agent very well could either not know about it or it could just be there asleep at the wheel.
So they should be able to answer all these questions. They should want to know about your business. You should be asking questions back and forth. And if not, you need to find somebody that can do this on this level.
Yes. And, you know, just to kind of toot the horn of IBTX again, you know, we are part of AccraSure. With the Insurance Journal, we're ranked second in the country. And the reason why I'm saying that to you is that the way I'm the equalizer for a client is when I make these companies compete. Like I want my client to walk away every year knowing we didn't only just go for renewal, but we remarketed this like brand new business. You're doing the client to win.
Trying to get the best price.
Yes, yes. And then on top of that, you're going back to the idea of like safety and risk analysis. You know, there's a lot of other little things that we do to help mitigate the cost of insurance. And for big companies, we even look into bigger solutions, alternative solutions like captives, like, what if you actually did go self-insured? What does that look like? Could be risky, could be not, but we'll do the analysis. And then there's other more conservative ways to go that are in that self-insured world, which is like a collaborative captive where you're really working with many other companies. And it allows you, if you can imagine, to kind of have ownership in this premium that you're paying. And so there's dividends and all kinds of things that really make it a big difference. And if you're spending, I would say if you're in the six figures of what you're investing in insurance, great conversation to have, and we're happy to have it.
So I have a question. You're my insurance agent and I get sued or have to file a claim. Do you not answer my phone call anymore? I've had that.
Oh, wow. So, you know, when you look at anything that I do, really my middle name is Everyday. It's Warren Everyday Spiewak. You look me up on Facebook, you'll see it. We really do work every day. And the thing about IBTX, I failed to mention this, but you just made me think of it, which is we have an entire claims department. So it's not like the carrier claims. Like what does a normal agency do? They give you an 800 number to call. Mm-hmm. We have a team, a real team of our adjusters that will help you and your staff throughout the claim process. And we do it in a really great way. We have an amazing, every single person that's on our claims management team are incredible people.
So wait, you as the insurance agent, help me get everything together that I need to properly file a claim with the actual insurance company?
Yes, we hold your hand and walk you through whether you're a $5,000 a year client or a $500,000 a year client. We are, our philosophy, and this has been something that's really for me, it was a big decision in just being with this firm. And that is, you want to provide value to your clients that is above or better what their value is to you in many ways. Like, you want to be able to give something to your client that makes them say, you know what, this, there's not just every other agent on the street that does this. And so we've designed this entire workflow and the way our teams work to be where it's almost like you're getting the Jedi Knights. It's not like you just get Luke Skywalker. You really get a team of Jedis that are helping you and working for you. And that's why in a world where the average agent only keeps relationships for 2 to 3 years, we have some clients that are with us for decades. You know, it's been, our agency was established in 1946, and we have long-standing relationships. And to me, that's the perfect way to kind of check the temperature on if you're doing it right.
So let me ask you a specific question. Okay, so you said you help people get better rates. Let's say I'm a material supplier and I have guys on forklifts loading trucks, what, you know, that, you know, high risk, the freaking, you know, every time I file a claim, it's really hard for me to get workers comp. What can you do to help me get better rates? What can you suggest?
Outside of just the obvious thing, which is have as many options as you can, have these competitors compete, you know, make all the obvious adjustments. There is something that really, I have seen it be a significant help to entrepreneurs, and especially in the construction industry. And that is going back to that manufacturing. Like, I'll give you an example of a client that I helped that I call it muddy waters, right? Where someone has a big problem. Well, this was a sign company, and this contractor was the person that not only erected the signs, but they also did manufacturing. Well, they had 3 fatalities in a year. This is before they were my client, okay? The workers' compensation was out of this world on the cost. And it almost put this business out of business, right? And then there's a lot of heartbreak for the client. Mm-hmm. So when I came onto the scene, the one thing that I did is I began to do like my own personal inspection of what's going on at the site, right? And what I found is these employees that were all at the moment being rated as sign erection. So you have underwriters thinking that if you got $1 million payroll and they think everybody's 50 stories in the sky putting up signs, well, that makes the rate really terrible. But what if I go in there and I find out really half the time they're actually manufacturing the signs? And that rate is a third of what sign erection is. And so just that observation and acknowledgement allows us to go and basically do what any agent could do. They just didn't do it, right? It's just shabby work. Another big mistake I see a lot of people make is the agents don't explain audits, right? So you can have an auditable policy on general liability, but you could also, every work comp policy, people are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But it's oftentimes that you sit down with an agent and you're making projections, and you're projecting as a business leader, you're projecting a great year, but you really want to know, and this is something I love to do, it's one of my favorite things, is I teach my clients how to calculate the job costs for work comp or general liability. So if you know, if it's a 2-piece math equation that tells you what a true job cost is for your labor, that helps. And when it comes to work comp, instead of having this giant balloon payment at the end of the year that you're not comfortable with, there are ways to have real-time work comp and just pay every single month for really what you're doing. And so that's kind of a couple of things. It's about reporting and understanding how that works, and then choosing the right numbers when you go into renewal time.
I just can't believe that insurance could be so easy. Is that I call you and I ask you these questions, you can explain it to me in not insurance terms. I don't know. I've been in this business a long time. I've never seen something like this offered where you're so, you know, customer involved, and you really want what's best for the customer as far as their insurance price, their coverage, and helping them file claims. That's
well, you
huge.
Know, you know, one of my favorite stories, I am someone who, you know, Drew Addison, I know you interviewed him just a week or so ago. Drew is a surety guy. And so there have been, my entire career, I've never really been someone who specializes in bonds, right? And when I became a partner and shareholder at IBTX and Acrisure, one of the things that I immediately noticed in these different departments is our surety competency. And I started realizing that there are big mistakes that construction companies make and subcontractors make when it comes to surety. And some of it is they don't have it, so they're not able to take on these big projects that they could potentially bid on. And the other thing that happens too is maybe they're not getting dividends that they're entitled to, or maybe they're not getting the very, you know, the thing about ratings and the way the process works is when you have somebody that actually specializes in it, and this is my tip, me tipping my hat off to Drew, is I've seen it to where I've had a roofing client that always kind of made the same revenue, always kind of did the same stuff. They allow us for a moment to take a look at surety, and suddenly we have them approved for a $2 million bond, and now they can start bidding on larger public projects. And so one of our roofing clients this year has been able to take on $1.5 million in revenue that otherwise would not be available if I didn't make them have this conversation. And they're happy they did. And now their business is about to grow threefold.
Yeah, and which is better for you and better for them. Have you ever watched The Incredibles?
A long time ago, yes.
Okay, well, the opening scene is Mr. Incredible, one of the opening scenes, and his, you know, incognito job as an insurance agent. I don't know if you remember this, but it's what kicks off the movie, right?
Yeah.
And so this little old lady comes in, and she's trying to file a claim on her policy, and they keep denying her. And he tells her, like, under his breath, you need to go file this form, file it here, and file it there. And he ends up getting fired for it, but... that's, you know, that's the view that everybody has on insurance, me included. And so to hear that it doesn't have to be that way is a relief.
Yeah. And, you know, just notes, because I'm reading my notes as you're talking. It's like things like there's different exclusions that I just want to say really, really put our people out in the danger zone. And one of the biggest ones is where your policy does not insure your subcontractors, because if you have, whether you're a GC or not, if you have people coming in and doing different parts, like think of a swimming pool contractor, they might have someone just coming in for the gunite. And if that person doesn't have the same limits or better than what our client has, our client is exposed. And it's so easy. It really is easy to just incorporate this and have an agent.
How much would that cost? Because like I have a client who is a roofing contractor. And he subbed out the work on a subcontract. But the subcontractor didn't have any insurance, and then somebody fell and died, but his insurance wouldn't cover because it was a subcontractor. I mean, how expensive is something like that?
So interestingly enough, it's not like a multiplier, right? Like we all know what a multiplier would be, where you're just going like, nope, not going to do it. These are very fractional percentages of what the total premium is. And sometimes these things are negotiated with no premium change, because going back to the subjectiveness, I want you to imagine this for a minute, everybody, which is when you're talking to an insurance company and they see, you know, let's just whatever that policy amount is, you know, there is a value to them to bring you on board and be your agent. If you're someone that has a safety program in place, which we help you with, if you're someone that has a good loss history, which is something that most of our clientele have, and the ones that don't go to the safety opportunity to try to mitigate those claims, you can actually get these companies to change the way the policies are written. It's just adding what's called an endorsement. And sometimes it's done with absolutely no cost. And I see this often where we're just adding some sizzle to the steak to make it something that the client is going like, wow, this is an obvious decision. But it really just depends. Now, just to clarify, I do need to add, when you do have coverage for your subcontractors, what you got to know is that, yes, there's a rate for that. Remember what I said about payroll? You have to know that those subcontractors that don't have their own insurance, those job costs are going to go towards the rating, right? And if you don't know those up front, you will find that they'll be uncovered at the end of the policy, which goes back to that whole audit conversation. But inside IBTX, we have partners like Tom Quintero or Drew Addison. These are talents that really, that their skill set is very locked on to the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, when I come to the table, I bring a team of experts, and I bring a team that can actually do a 360 degree review of what you have. And our approach is not from a scarcity mindset where we're trying to persuade you, or there's nothing really salesy or gimmicky about it. It's very much a consultation, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. But by the time somebody finds out what we're showing them, yeah, it's usually a no-brainer for them to say, you know what, why aren't you handling this for us?
Already. And
so,
yeah, because, you know, I've seen, yeah. I know people that fight every year to get their rates down or do, you know, to do all of that. I mean, do you cover, I just have a question, do you cover health insurance as well? Or is that?
Yeah, so we have an incredible benefits department. We bring in the top of the top. You know, we've got a couple partners that this is what they do day in, day out for a lot of people and a lot of companies, and they do it all over the country. So yes, you get access to that. And we go and we make these carriers compete, and we have some other alternative options too, because a lot of times insurance agents think very traditionally, but there is, especially when you get into big business and the ability to have, you know, when you have 700,000 clients, what happens is carriers will make special programs, and there's different strategies that they'll allow you to implement so that you're more competitive and you drive more business that way. So we do all of that. It's all inclusive. But I did make a note that Tom Quintero from my office told me to make sure I bring up today, and I want to just throw it out there. But there is a lot of litigation going on in the construction world right now where people are talking about the statute of repose. And this is where they're claiming, you know, attorneys are coming in and they're claiming construction defect, and it's triggering insurance, and it causes a lot of people headaches, and it's a 10-year statute. And so what you find is, and this is what Tom really was like, man, while you're talking to Carolyn, will you just bring this up? It's the fact that what these attorneys sometimes do is they wait till the 9-year mark or 9.5-year mark and create this kind of drama, if you will. And so just one of those things you want to be thinking about, it. You want to consider just being proactive and really diving into duty to defend, because insurance companies inside those general liability policies, you want to know, what does it say about duty to defend? Is the insurance company going to let you hire your own attorney, or are they going to make you use their attorney? Are they going to have a sub limit where, oh, you know what? I told you have $1 million worth of coverage, but when it comes to duty to defend, we have just a $50,000 limit. Those are all just things to know about and really, you know, again,
something like that. It's the attorney fee bill is so huge at the end of the day. If the insurance company doesn't cover.
Yeah, you end up settling.
That a lot of my clients have is, okay, you know, I did a job 9 years ago. I had insurance with one company and I get sued on it, or I get a notice of claim, you know, 8.5 years later, I'm with a different company. What insurance company would cover that at the time that the claim is being made, or the time the project was being done? Just generally speaking, if they're claiming I did bad work.
Okay, so great question. I'm going to get a little bit technical, but I promise I'll try to keep it as overview as I can. But when I look at an insurance policy, there's two ways that liability is spoken for. One is claims made, and one is per occurrence. Now, when you have a per occurrence policy, let's just say you're with company XYZ in the year 2015, and you're getting a phone call in 2021 saying that what you did in 2015 is a problem. Well, if you're on a per occurrence policy, you're going to know that that policy is going to perform because the event happened in that time range. If you're in a claims made policy, what's interesting is that that policy won't pay in that, because it's not going to be retroactive. But while you've had it, this is the interesting thing about claims made, because it gets confusing. But claims made means while I've got that active, this policy from 2015 to 16, it's not only covering you for what happens in that moment, but anything that happened 10, 20 years before, only during that period of time. So it's kind of an interesting, I know it gets almost like,
if I write a policy with you for this year that's a claims made, you're going to cover my work up to whatever the statute of limitation happens to be, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, even though you weren't my insurance company at the time.
That's right. It's going to be because the claim's happening now, it's going to perform now. But the day that that policy expires, there's nothing left. Now, it brings up one thing. I'm going to add a caveat to that, which is you hear in the construction company, I mean, in the construction industry, and you also hear this in the insurance world, tail coverage, right? So a tail is where you're like, when you have a claims made policy at the end of that term, an agent can sell you a 2-year tail, a 5-year tail, a 7-year tail. And so you see that a lot on the professional liability. And when it comes to, like, again, just going back to like shabby work, it's not always incompetence on your behalf that causes it. But if you have let's say you pour a slab and it's cracking or it's, you know, becoming delaminated, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the right coverage, which we're talking about, like the rip and tear, or the coverage for faulty workmanship, you could have coverage, but that's only usually in the professional liability portion of your portfolio. So general liability and professional liability, I just want everyone to understand this. Those are two totally different things.
Yeah, general liability covers you when you hurt somebody else, right?
Yes, you're talking about people and property, bodily injury. And professional liability, think if you're doing design. And when I do an application, these applications aren't like, it's not like flipping a hamburger. There are questions about, does your prospect offer warranties? Does your prospect offer drawings? Does your prospect do X, Y, Z? That are all things that are related to design and engineering in some cases. And so professional liability really is what you need in that case. And in my opinion, why not quote it? Why not quote what it's like to see the numbers for professional liability, which would include these coverages?
And so, like, if you got sued for bad work, you could just turn it over to the insurance company, and an attorney would defend you, and you just have to answer the attorney's questions and that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about quoting the,
you know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, when that concrete slab is getting all funky, while your general liability is going to pay for the third party and pretty much not cover you for your work, this professional liability will kick in and you're going like, man, I got to pull it out. At least it's paid for. Man, I got to redo it, paid for. So it really.
So for example, like the general liability is going to cover if somebody trips on a crack and breaks their leg in the concrete, that will be covered.
Yeah.
But not the concrete itself.
Correct.
So you need like professional liability that would, because you know, I have concrete disputes all the time. The PSI is not breaking like it should. And, you know, I have guys that just come in and redo it, you know, even when they're in the variance and the standard. And so that's just a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you about this particular situation. What if, as the insured, the person is making a claim against me, never gave me a chance to fix it, never gave me notice, they fixed it, and now they're suing me? Would insurance cover that situation?
So that would get into the duty to defend. So if something was not covered, unaware, you know, you're unaware of it, duty to defend would come to play, right? But as far as the product performance, it really would just depend. It really gets, the thing about my industry, and this is something that I think everyone should know, it's more difficult to become a dang real estate agent than it is an insurance agent, honestly. So it's very scary when you think of going back to that question of like, who's your agent and where can you go? I mean, to think that these agents, a lot of them have just spent, you know, X amount of hours studying for a test and made a 71, and now they're writing, they're protecting your $50 million business or no matter what your revenue is. Even, you know, there's so many subcontractors we work with that are under the $1 million threshold. But every little penny matters, and everyone's got their hand in their pockets. In other words, every single vendor that they work with is removing their profitability, and insurance is one of those highest line items. And so.
Well, and exactly. And if you really don't have anybody on your side, you're kind of helpless because you don't know.
And you know what? There is something, going back to that analogy where we were talking about a plastic surgeon that's busy all the time with no advertising, that doctor is the kind of doctor that they're going to sit down with you and they're going to like give you the straightaway answer because they're not doing it for the dollar, right? They're successful. And so I sometimes use like fishing as an example. You know, when you get on a fishing boat, you want to know that the captain knows what the hell he's going to do. You're going to have a great day of fishing. You're going to catch a lot of fish. And if you just have someone that it's their first day or they never really prepared, you're going to pay your $600 to get on the boat, but it isn't going to
Have
be
a
a good
miserable
day.
time.
Yeah, so
No fun.
it all matters. And you know, the thing is I want to just tell anyone listening, if you have questions, if you're just going like, this sounds like he's talking from a different planet, you don't have to figure all this out. We will do it for you. There's no, I'm not an attorney. I don't charge by the hour. I literally only get paid when I find an amazing solution and a reason for you to become a client. So just know that not only do you get me and my team, but you get a whole network of people that we work with that are experts in evaluating and analyzing the risk.
Well, that's amazing. And I truly appreciate all the information and answering, you know, my questions that I'm sure a lot of people have, because, you know, we're not insurance experts. And I don't know, like I said, I feel like when it comes to insurance, so many of the time I'm like out in the cold, right? Even for my clients, I'm trying to make a claim and I get a denial letter and I get another denial letter and I have to file like 3 or 4 letters or sue them just to get coverage. And to hear that that's not an issue with you is such a relief. And I highly recommend, if you're in the construction industry, you need to call Warren for your insurance. He covers everything. All his information will be in the show notes. So I thank you again, Warren, for being on the show. Is there any last thoughts you want to add?
What you're doing is fabulous. I think one of my favorite things is watching a contractor go from getting screwed to being actually in, you know, in a really good spot, or being able to avoid it altogether. And I think that's what our mission is.
Well, to make that transition as painless as possible, from going from getting screwed as little as possible to being successful on all fronts. And you know, the better insurance you have, the better lawyer you have. I mean, these are all,
yeah,
they're all great things that we need to have.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity, and I'm sure we'll do more stuff together, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Thank you, Warren.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.